ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तम् महेश्वरो भ्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। So we are seeing the Bhasham of the second mantra, and wherein we are still doing the meaning of the word pranasya, pranaha. Om apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyana cha sarvani. Sarvam Brahma say after me. Om Apyayanto Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotra Matho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani. Tamato Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirate Ya Upanishatsu Dharmaste Mayi Santo Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we were seeing last class, we had to do the meaning of the word pranasya pranaha. And there, the pranasya pranaha, and we also saw the meaning of the word, we finished seeing the vachoha vacham. The arguments came whether the vacham should be vak or vacham. Then we understood it must be vak. Even though the mantra has the word vachaha vacham, but the vacham must be taken as the vak, because vak is the nominative. And the Purapakshi's question was, why should we take it as vachoha vak? Why should we not take it as, because the thing is, and then Shankara gave the answer, no, all other words are nominative, and nominative is the appropriate thing, therefore we are taking the meaning of the word vacham as vak. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. And thereafter he said, why not we take it, and he also gave the example, he also gave the reason. The following word is a pranasya pranaha. Pranaha is in nominative. And not only prana is our nominative, even other words are also in nominative. Therefore, vak also must be in nominative. And he said, because why can't we change the pranasya pranam into second case, nominative, dvitiya? Instead of changing the vak into prathama, why can't we change prana into dvitiya, second case? That is where he said, no, because whenever the question is asked, whatever the words that are used, isn't it? The question, whatever already introduced in the question, like the what is the question? What is that conscious principle which activates all these organs, internal organs, sense organs, organs of actions, pranas and mind? Therefore, what is the conscious principle? The conscious principle is already known. Is it? But what exactly conscious principle is not known? Because the conscious principle is implied by the term pranaha. Isn't it? Therefore, that is the unknown answer. Therefore, what he has to say, the conscious principle is pranaha. So, devaha pranaha and pranasya pranaha. So, pranasya pranaha is the answer, unknown answer. And devaha is already known answer. So, the devaha, which are the conscious principle, which activates the prana, is what now? Pranasya pranaha, the unknown. Also, therefore, the answer always must begin with the already known word, and it should end with the unknown word. And here, what is the conscious principle which activates all the organs when the question is asked? The conscious principle that which activates all the organs, there he has what now? Pranasya pranaha. And there the conscious principle becomes the subject, and pranasya pranaha becomes the predicate. And always the subject and predicate must be in the nominative. Therefore, what now? It should not be in the objective case. Therefore, my answer is correct. Don't you such a simple answer? The object must be in nominative. The predicate must be in nominative. Because it always describes the subject. Predicate, if the subject is nominative, predicate must be in nominative. Such a simple grammatical aspect, you should remember. So my answer is correct, he said. And what he did, you know how that pranasya prana, the second prana, meant the consciousness, the atma. And to say that it is atma, the consciousness, conscious principle, is said to be implied by the term pranaha. Why? Because the prana cannot function as prana if it is not supported by atma, the consciousness. What is that which lends, which gives this the prana, the status of being the prana? It is the atma. Therefore, atma anadishtitasya pranasya. If the prana is not supported by, backed by atma, then prana cannot have the status of being the very prana. Isn't it? Therefore, he said that pranasya pranaha implied atma, the consciousness. Therefore, he gave the answer. And thereafter, you have to remember, Shankara quoted many Shruti statements saying, the pranasya pranaha implied atma, the consciousness. It is the atma which alone makes the prana function. And for which he gave many quotations from Kathopanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad and all that. And also he quoted from Kathopanishad also. Yeah. So we have read that. So now we have to go to the next meaning. Nahi, nahi, atmana, anadishthitasya, prananam, upapadyate. This is the last answer by Shankara. What was the last class we saw? Atmana anadhishtitasya. We are still in the, I am in the last line what I did last class. Atmana anadhishtitasya pranasya prananam na upapadyate. It is not possible for the prana to function as prana, to be capable of being the prana, if it is not supported by, backed by atma. Therefore, what does it mean? It is the atma which is implied by the term pranasya pranaha. Pranasya pranaha means the second prana implied what now? consciousness, the Atma. Okay, that made it clear. Now he gave the quotations. Kohevan. Sorry. Kahayeva. Anyat. Kaha. Pranyat. Anyat pranyat means who can breathe, who can breathe, who can inhale, who can exhale. Yadi yeshaha akasha anandaha nasyat. I told you already, this is from Taittiriya Upanishad. Yekash akasha anandaha here means the Atma, the consciousness. And here if akasha Atma, the consciousness is not there, it's all pervasive consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness. If this Atma is not there, who can breathe and who can breathe in, who can breathe out? So nobody can breathe in, breathe out. And then, that is the quotation from Taittiriya Upanishad. For what? To support his statement that pranasya pranaha, the second prana, means the Atma. Thereafter, urdham, pranan, pranam, unnayati, apanam, pratyagasyati. So, urdham pranam unnayati, apanam pratyagasyati means what? See, it is the Atma, because the Atma alone, Ati is Atma, which alone makes the prana go outside, makes the apana go inside. That means what now? It is the inhalation and exhalation are happening, the prana, apana functions are happening because of Atma alone. That is said, that quotation is from Katha Upanishad. Iha apicha vakshate yena pranaha praniyate tadeva brahma tvam vidhi. Okay, so iha api vakshate means what now? Even here in this Kena Upanishad also, vakshyate will be said later on. You mean what now? We are still in the second mantra. We have to go to other mantras. When we will move on to other mantras, we will come across here itself, in this Upanishad itself, how it is yena pranaha praniyate, that by which alone the prana is capable of functioning as prana. The breathing in and breathing out and all these functions are happening. That is known that to be what now? Brahman. O student, may you know, may you antvam vidhi, may you know that. No, may you know what now? May you know that being Brahman. What is it Brahman? It is Brahman. Because of which alone, there is inhalation, exhalation, etc. are happening. So with these quotations, Shankara ends his commentary on pranasya pranaha. Is it clear now? No, he doesn't end his commentary here. Okay, he finishes explanation. But the Pura Paksha does not allow. Okay, still it is going to go on. Now Pura Paksha comes. A new doubt comes. So one answer is given. What is the answer? The word pranaha means Atma, that he explained. In pranasya pranaha sentence, the second pranaha means the Atma, the Chaitanyam, consciousness. And how did he? And he explained that with quotations from other Shruti. Okay? Finished. Now the Pura Pakshi comes again. I told you last class also, this study of Bhashyam will really help you to think better, to think correctly, and also, you know, and also it will thereby, your communication also will be very precise. Isn't it? Therefore, precise communication and a clear, right thinking will be the benefits of studying the Bhashyam. But in this Upanishad, lots of Purpaksha really begins. more of Purupakshis, Purupaksha will be there. You can see that. Okay, Shrotradin. Shrotradini.
Shrotradini.
Indriya Prastave.
Indriya Prastave.
Actually, Shrotra Adi Indriya Prastave. Shrotra Adi. Sorry, I'm written wrong. Shrotra Adi Indriya Prastave. Shrotra Adi Indriya Prastavaha means what now? Indriya Prastavaha means context. Indriya Prastave means what now? In the context of sense organs. What now? Now, why he says in the Indriya Prastava means the context of the mentioning of sense organs. So, Indriya Prastava. And what are the Indriyas now? Shrotram, etc. Shrotram, Chakshu, etc. What now? They are mentioned here. So, when the answer is given, Shrotrasya, Shrotram, Chakshushaha, Chakshuhu. Okay, because it isn't also asked. The same thing. No? He also mentioned some names, like even though the student wanted to mention all these five sense organs, all the organs of actions, all the pranas and the entire antahkaranam. So he wanted to know the activator, the passive, okay, non-performing, non-acting, okay, non-acting activator. Non-performing performer. So the passive director or the activator of the entire sukshma shariram. Who is that? What is that, you know, director? What is that passive director? Or who is that passive director whose mere presence activates this entire sukshma shariram? Because of which the sukshma shariram itself becomes conscious and sentient. There is a student's question. But even though it means all the aspects of entire sukshma shariram, but how many does he mention? He mentions only few of them. Manaha kena pershitam manaha patati. Pranaha pratamaha praiti yuktaha praiti. Vaimam vacham vadanti. Chakshuhu shrotram. He mentions few of them. He mentions few sense organs, he mentions few organs of actions, and he talks about the pranaha and manaha. Even though he does not enumerate all the sukshma aspects, the very question makes it very clear what he wants to know actually. Who is the passive activator, director? What is the passive director? What or who? Because of whom the entire sukshma shariram, which all these different aspects which constitute sukshma shariram function. Isn't it? And here, and therefore, the reply also was given by the teacher as like what? And the teacher also gave what now? Shrotrasya shrotram, manasaha manaha, vachaha vacham, pranasya pranaha, chakshushaha chakshuhu. So, see, the teacher also did not enumerate all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, all the okay. He also, but his answer also implied what now? Implies the entire sukshma. That means what? Even though he says pranasya pranaha, he means what now? Eye of the eye, ear of the ear, nose of the nose, tongue of the tongue, prana of the prana, you know, organ of speech of the organ of speech. So he also means what now? He also says, even though the teacher does not enumerate all the 16 aspects of the sukshma shariram, but this teacher also gave an appropriate answer, very clear answer, a command: the sukshma of the sukshma is the atma. What is that which makes the sukshma shariram a sukshma shariram? What is that which makes every organ, that given organ, is the Atma? He gave the answer. said. So, and in that context, what did he say? Chakshushaha shrotrasya shrotram, manasaha manaha, vachaha vacham. So he meant that. So what he says now, the student is asking, the Purupakshi is asking, listen to me carefully. The Purupakshi is asking, shrotradi indriya prastave, O teacher, when you are mentioning in the context of the sense organs, because it comes with the pranasya prana comes where? After chrotrasya shrotram, chakshushaha chakshu, manasaha manaha. No? So there in the context, pranasya pranaha also comes. The expression pranasya pranaha comes in the context of in the line where other sense organs are also enumerated. Therefore, this pranaha should be taken as what now? Granam, the organ of smelling. The word pranaha, pranasya pranaha, okay, that prana should be taken as what now? Organ of smelling. It should not be taken as the vital air, the pranaha. The word pranasya pranaha should be taken as granasya granaha. The word, this is Purupakshi, don't say Shankara, okay? Purupakshi is saying the pranasya pranaha should be taken as granasya granaha. That meaning of the prana should be taken as what now? Power of smelling, the organ of smelling, grana indriyam, not as the physiological function prana. Why he is saying this? The student is saying, I have to tell you this. The word pranaha, I tell you, we have two pranas. Mukhya pranaha and gauna pranaha. There are two words, okay? Mukhya pranaha and gauna pranaha. Mukhya pranaha means the physiological function, the inhalation, exhalation, that is called mukhya prana. Okay, the pranaha comprising of all physiological functions is called mukhya pranaha. Gauna pranaha means the power of smelling, organ of smelling. Why organ of smelling also is called pranaha? Because anything, any smell, when you smell something, you have to smell something, and you have to take it to what now? Near the nose. Or you don't take it near the nose also. Okay? What happens now? One has to inhale a little bit like this, and then one can know this smell. So power in smelling also, there's some little inhalation is done. How? When you inhale and it is a very good smell. Isn't it? The smell comes. So in knowing also, inhalation is done. Therefore, the sense organ of the smelling also is called pranaha. But what pranaha? Gauna pranaha. Gauna. This Ganga Gita. Ga. Gauna pranaha. Listen now, why prana is called gauna pranaha? Because in smelling also, little inhalation is done. Without inhaling, smelling is not possible. Okay? The smelling happens during inhalation. Isn't it? That is why this sense organ of smelling is called gauna pranaha. And he says, should we take this prana as gauna pranaha or mukhya pranaha? Pranasya pranaha, you have said fine. It is atma which makes the prana a prana. But that prana, is it a gauna pranaha or mukhya pranaha? Does it mean the, no, what does it mean? I think, Prabhupada Bhakti says, I think we should take it as gauna pranaha, the organ of smelling. We should not take it as a mukhya pranaha. Why? Because it comes in the context of other enumeration of other sense organs. Chakshushas chakshuhu. Okay? Shrotrasya shrotram. They're all sense organs. It comes in the line of what? In the context of what? Sense organs. Therefore, the meaning of this prana should be taken as gauna pranaha, it is organ of smelling, not as the mukhya pranaha. Is it clear? This is his argument. He says this. How does he say? Look at this. Shrotradi indriya prastave. Say no? Shrotradi indriya prastave. Means shrotra adi nam indriya prastave. Shrotra adi indriya prastave. Granasya eva.
Granasya eva.
Pranasya.
Pranasya.
Nanu yuktam grahanam. So the pranasya, granasya eva grahanam yuktam. That means what now? It will be appropriate. Yuktam means what now? It is appropriate to take the meaning of organ of smelling for the word prana. What be appropriate? Yuktam means what now? It is appropriate. It will be proper to take the meaning of the word grana for the word, to take the meaning of the organ of smelling as the meaning of the word prana. Why should we take the meaning of the word, meaning of the organ of smelling, not the organ of, not the prana? We should take, because it is used in the context of other senses. Is it clear now? That is his argument. Then Shankara says, satyam,
satyam.
Evam.
Evam.
Yes, I accept what you say. Where is this prana used? Pranasya prana, where is it used? In the context of indriya prastha, in the context of mention of sense organs only. Correct, you are correct. Therefore, I agree with you. This called Ardha Angikaraha means what? Half agreement. But I do not accept totally. You are correct. It is used in the context of sense organs. Satyam. Satyam means what now? When you say yes, then Satyam. Satyam evam. Pranagrahanena evatu.
Pranagrahanena.
Evatu. Granasya grahanam.
Granasya grahanam.
Shrutameva.
Shrutameva.
Manyate.
Manyate.
Shrutihi.
Shrutihi.
Here I had to give a lot of answer here. Satyameva, that is true. It is used in the context of sense organs, but still it does not mean the gauna pranaha. The word pranaha does not mean the gauna pranaha. It means the mukhya pranaha only. Why it means the mukhya pranaha? Because, you are going to see later on, why it means the mukhya pranaha? Pranagrahane naiva tu granasya grahanam sutameva manyate shrutihi. When you say prana, no, when you talk about the mukhya prana itself implies what? All fivefold physiological functions. The one word prana implies all the fivefold physiological functions. And that includes what? The function of inhalation. The function of inhalation includes also what? the power of organ of smelling also. Why doesn't need to need to say separately? Because whether you like it or not, whenever as you are walking, as you inhale, the stink in the place gets inhaled, okay, gets smelt. And then the fragrance in the given place also what now? Gets smelt. You have to go again, do like this, go everywhere. You don't need to go after the object. Sometimes you take something and then smell it, no doubt. But most of the times what happens, as you're walking, because you're inhaling alone, whatever stinky or fragrance around, that gets what now? Known. That becomes known. That is why we have to look, do like this. That means what? That's why we have to cover closely, tightly. We keep our nose tight. That's why we find it difficult. When you close your nose, you find suffocation. No, you can't breathe. If you have to stop the power of organ of smelling from picking up some ugly, dirty smell, stink, you don't want to smell the stink. What do? Immediately cover your nose with some cloth. When you close it, then you can avoid the power, the function of avoid smelling something bad. What happens then? You find difficult to inhale also. What do you have to do? Because you find difficult to inhale. Therefore, immediately you have to take it and you have to inhale. Therefore, when inhalation itself implies what? When you inhale, you also, what now, come to the organ of the power of smelling also, what now? The power of smelling also functions. Therefore, inhalation itself includes what? Organ of smelling also. Whereas, if you mention the word prana, prana includes the organ of smelling also. But if you mention grana, then the function of inhalation will not be included. I got the meaning?
Yeah.
See how well they think. You are right. I can take it as a gauna prana also, because it is used in the context of sense organs. But if I take your meaning of taking it as a gauna prana, then what happens? Prana will get excluded. The physiological function will be excluded there. If I take the word prana as a physiological function, it also includes what? The power of organ of smelling. Therefore, my answer is more appropriate than my interpretation, my explanation is more appropriate than yours. Who tells this? Shankara. To whom? Purupakshi. Is it clear now? So Ardha Angikaraha is there. Shankara accepts what the Purupakshi says. He does not totally deny what Purupakshi says. Yes, the word pranaha is used in the context of sense organs. Therefore, it is possible for me to take the meaning of gauna pranaha also. So I can take it as the organ of smelling, but I am not taking that meaning. I am taking only as what now? Mukhya pranaha. Why? Because mukhya pranaha, the physiological function, includes the power of organ of smelling. Is it clear now? Whereas if I take this meaning of grana, gauna prana, the grana, the power of organ of smelling, then that will exclude prana. Therefore, in this context, what is said is what? Correct. Mukhya pranaha is the correct answer. You should not take it as the gauna pranaha. Is it clear? Okay. One line I have to tell you this. So, granasya grahanam shrutameva manyate shrutihi. Because shruti itself reveals, what does it reveal? Shruti also thinks, Upanishad also thinks what? Just by mentioning the word prana itself, the prana, by taking the meaning of the mukhya prana itself, the organ of smelling also is included in that. And he goes again, sarvasya,
sarvasya.
Eva,
eva
karana kalapasya,
karana kalapasya.
Yadartha prayukta,
yadartha prayukta
pravruttihi,
pravruttihi
tad brahma,
tad brahma
iti prakranarthaha,
prakranarthaha
vivakshitaha.
Second
thing, he goes further, saying, sarvasya eva karana kalapasya. Karana kalapaha means the totality of all the organs. Kalapaha means samuhaha, the group. Karana kalapaha means what now? Karana kalapaha means karana samuhaha. Karana samuhaha means what? The group of all the aspects which constitute the sukshma shariram. Karana kalapaha, that means we have to understand the five sense powers, five powers of organs of actions, five physiological functions, and antahkaranam, manaha, buddhihi, chitta, ahankaraha, all of them together are implied by the word what now? Together is said to be karana kalapaha. So even though Shrutihi does not, the student, when he asks the question also, he does not enumerate all the 16 of them. He enumerated few, which itself implies that in his answer he includes all the 16 of them. The student, even though student does not enumerate all the 16, but what he implies in his question is that he includes all the 16 of them. He means all the 16 of them. Similarly, my answer also, what now? The Shruti gave the answer, the teacher gave the answer also. In the answer also, he does not enumerate all the 16 of them, but still answer also implies all the 16 of them. Have you got it? Therefore, and karana kalapasya yadartha prayukta sarvasya eva karana kalapasya yadartha prayukta pravruttihi. Okay, for whose sake? No, yad there means atma. Yad artha prayukta, because of which alone all the entire karana kalapaha functions, that is brahma, tad brahma. See, yadartha prayukta pravruttihi. Okay, that because of which alone, that because yad means yena, yadartha prayukta, you know, because of whom, because of which, by whom, by whose presence, by which alone, all these sense organs, all these organs of actions, this entire mind, the pranas, all of them function. No? Function, that is brahma, tad brahma. Tad brahma. That brahma is what now? Aham asmi. Therefore what now? Aham, the brahman is atma, and aham atma, therefore that brahma aham asmi. What does it mean here? Actually, what is implied by that is brahma. It is Brahman, the reality, which alone activates all these sense organs, all the entire sukshma shariram. That Brahman is what now? Brahman is the atma. Aham atma. That is the answer. What is here implied is, actually, it is the atma which is Brahman, which alone activates all these sense organs, all these organs of actions, entire sukshma shariram. In that context also, even though all of them are not enumerated, we are interested in Brahman here. He is still answering the meaning of the prana. So there implies what now? When you say Pramukhya Prana also is implied. Grana also is implied. All of them are included. Why do you ask me to use separately here? In the context, what is the context? The context is the all these aspects of Sukshma Shariram. Isn't it? And the activator of that is Atma. That Atma is what? No? Brahman. That's what is answer here. So we don't need to mention separate as a grana prana, gauna prana, or mukhya prana. We don't need to discuss at all. Because mukhya prana also is included. Gauna prana also is included here. We are not interested in discussing mukhya prana or gauna prana. We are interested in, fact, all of them are included there. We are interested in Atma, Brahman, who is the activator of this? All of them. All these aspects of Sukshma Shariram. Have got or not?
So just get the answer if you would in prose, like a...
Look at this. Sarvasya eva karana kalapasya yadartha prayukta pravruttihi. See, yadartha prayukta pravruttihi means there, the yad shabda stands for atma. So, yadartha prayukta means now activated by the Atma alone, pravruttihi, functioning, activation is of all this karana kalapaha, activation of the entire karana kalapaha. The entire sukshma shariram, karanakalapaha implies sukshma shariram, okay? The activator of the karanakalapaha is Atma. That because of which the entire karanakalapaha is functioning is Brahman. That is what is actually explained here. Therefore, we don't need to talk separately about gauna pranaha or mukhya pranaha. The very kalapa implies what now? The teacher, the student's question also implies this entire sukshma shariram. And the teacher's answer also implies the entire sukshma shariram. There we don't need to work on whether it is gauna pranaha or mukhya pranaha. All the sense organs are included. Therefore, grana is already included. The organ of smelling also is included. The prana also is included. Is it clear? Therefore, the very question is, my answer is correct. My interpretation of pranaha is mukhya pranaha, not gauna pranaha is correct. Okay, next. Here, Swamiji tells also tells. See, even the Shankaracharya has given these two answers. That is, the Upanishad mantra and the student's answer. Okay, the student's question and the answer by the teacher, both of them imply all the sukshma aspects. So they include gauna prana and mukhya prana. So we don't need to really know about it, isn't it? So the word pranaha means only mukhya pranaha only. It's clear. Apart from that also, we can think a little differently, the Swamiji says. We can give answer to Purupakshi's question. The pranaha means only mukhya pranaha, not the gauna pranaha. How do we say? The very student's first question itself, pranaha prathamaha. Prathamaha pranaha. the student in his student himself in his answer, in his question, he gives adjective for the prana as a prathamaha. Prathamaha means what? Prathamaha always means mukhya pranaha, not the gauna pranaha. The primary meaning of the word pranaha is the mukhya pranaha, not the gauna pranaha. Why? Because he gives adjective called prathamaha. Why prathamaha? Because if the prana is not there, okay, prana, if it is atma which activates the prana, it is prana which activates everything else. If prana is not there, then what? Mind cannot think, intellect cannot know, etc. The mind cannot function as mind, and other organs cannot function as organs. Therefore, who is the activator of everything? This prana. Understand, if prana goes, finished, body, isn't it? Therefore, it is the prana which really activates by lending energy to all the organs. It is prana alone activates all the organs. If there is no energy, eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, nose cannot smell, tongue cannot taste, skin cannot feel, mind cannot think, intellect cannot know, no organ can function if it is not supported by, backed by the prana shakti. But prana by itself, it is dependent on what? Atma for its activation. That is why prana, in the context of other organs, prana is said to be prathamaha. So that prana means what now? Not the organ of smelling. It means what now? It is the inhalation only. It's the physiological function only. It means the word pranaha, prathamaha, in the question of the student itself, reveals the pranaha means mukhya pranaha, not gauna pranaha. This additional answer given by Swamiji. Okay, for the Purva Pakshi. Tatha.
Tatha.
And Shankara gives one more answer. Chakshushaha chakshu.
Chakshushaha chakshu.
See, now he goes to the next one. Rupa prakashakasya.
Rupa prakashakasya.
Chakshushaha.
Chakshushaha.
Yade. Rupa grahana samarthyam.
Rupa
tade atma chaitanya adhishtitasya eva. See, chakshushaha chakshu. Why atma is said to be what? No, chakshushaha chakshuhu. Eye of the eye. Why? Because Rupa prakashakasya chakshushaha. What does the eye do? Eye is the illuminator of the form. Rupa prakashakaha means what now? Chakshuhu is the rupa prakashakam. That which illuminates the form, illumines the form, or lends existence to the form, brings the form to light, is what now? Chakshuhu. That chakshushaha yad rupa grahana samarthyam. Okay, the capacity of the eye. What is the eye capable of doing? Eye is capable of absorbing the form or illumining the form. Grahana samarthyam literally means absorbing capacity. But here you should take it as what now? The eye's capacity to illumine a given form. Is it eye's capability, eye's capacity to illumine the given any form is called what? Chakshushaha grahana samarthyam or illumining samarthyam. The capacity to illumine the object is called grahana. Grahana means illumining here. Samarthyam. How does the eye become capable of illumining the object? He says, தது ஆத்ம சைத்தன்ய அதிஷ்டிதஸ்ய ஏவ. ஒன்லி இஃப் தி ஐஸ் ஆர் பேக்ட் பை தி ஆத்மா. ஆத்மா சைத்தன்ய அதிஷ்டிதஸ்ய சக்ஷுஷஹ ஏவ கிரகண சாமர்த்தியம். They have what now? Grahana Samarthyam is what now? The eyes are capable of illumining the objects, forms externally only if they are backed by the Atma. How? If the Atma is not there, subtle body, this eyes, the seeing power cannot, what now? Mind cannot be illumined. Mind cannot be conscious. The mind is not conscious. The sense powers cannot borrow their consciousness, sentiency from the mind also. And what I'm saying, therefore, Atma Chaitanya Adishtitasya Chakshushaha Eva Grahana Samarthyam Bhavati. The eyes which are backed by Atma alone are capable of illumining the forms. If Atma is not backing the eyes, then they would have become what now? They will not be capable of illumining the objects, forms. Is it clear now? So, it's not only the Golakam. See, the Golakam is dependent on Indriyam to have the status of being the eyes. And the sense power, Indriyam is dependent on what? The mind. Mind is dependent on what? Consciousness. So ultimately, what are the sense powers dependent on? Atma only. Relatively, they are dependent on the mind. Look at this. Relatively, they are all dependent on the mind. Ultimately, they are dependent on the Atma only. That is why, what is the adhishthanam of the sense organs? Ultimate support of the sense organs is what now? Consciousness, Atma only, Atma. What is the ultimate support of the mind? Atma. What is the ultimate support of the organs of actions? Atma. What is the ultimate support of the pranas? Atma. That's why adhishtanam means what now? Ultimate support. Substratum. Adhishtanam means what now? Substratum. Ultimate support. Is it clear? What he says, that is because of the Atma only. Therefore, Atma is said to be what now? Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, eye of the eye. So that which lends eye the capacity to be the eye is said to be the eye of the eye. Have you got the meaning? See, Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, Rupa Prakashakasya Chakshushaha, Yat Grahana Samarthyam, தது யத் கிரகண சாமர்த்தியம், தட் கேப்பபிலிட்டி ஆஃப் தி ஐ இஸ் வாட் நோ தது, தட் இஸ் தது ஆத்ம சைத்தன்ய அதிஷ்டிதஸ்ய ஏவ, ஒன்லி இஃப் இட் இஸ் சப்போர்டட் பை தி ஆத்மா. ஹவ் கோ த மீனிங்? ஆத்ம சைத்தன்ய அதிஷ்டிதஸ்ய சக்ஷுஷஹ ஏவ கிரகண சாமர்த்தியம். ஆத்ம சைத்தன்ய அதிஷ்டிதஸ்ய சக்ஷுஷஹ ஏவ கிரகண சாமர்த்தியம் பவதி. ஓகே, see the capacity of the eye, because of which the eye is capable of illuminating the object, is because of the Atma. அதஹ சக்ஷுஷஹ சக்ஷுஹு. What now? Eye of the eye. Okay. Then ப்ருஷ்டுஹு ப்ருஷ்டஸ்ய அர்த்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞாதும் இஷ்டத்வாத் ஶ்ரோத்ராதேஹே ஶ்ரோத்ராதி லக்ஷணம் யதா உக்தம். Okay. So, prashtuhu prishtasya arthasya. Whatever the prashta means, the one who asks. Prashtru shabdaha. Rikarantaha, pullingaha, prashtru shabdaha. Prashtru means what? Asker. The one who asks is what? No, prashta. Ketkindravan. Okay, the one who questions is the prashta. One who asks is the prashta. If you ask for money, you are dhana prashta. If you ask for wealth, you are wealth prashta. If you ask for arogyam, arogya prashta. If you ask for book, a book prashta. Prashta means what? One who asks. And here prashtuhu is sapshashti. Okay? Of the one who questions, or the one who asks the question, the student. Prishtasya arthasya. When he asked the question, what did he ask? Kahu devaha, you know, kena prayukta prayati. What is that conscious, kahu devaha yunakti? What is that conscious principle, which, because of which, mind functions, because of which sense organs function, because of which organ of speech. He asks, what is that? That means, when he asks the question implies what? His jigyasa, yeah. His desire for knowledge. The question always implies the desire for knowledge. And here, what does the student want to know? His desire for the knowledge of the self. Is this for the knowledge of the reality? It's jigyasa. Therefore, jnatum ishtatvat. Because of the student's desire for knowledge alone, he is asking. Desire for the knowledge of the self. And yet, shrotradi lakshanam yatha uktam. Therefore, what now? It is revealed now. Okay, what is that? The student want to know, not to know the what is the conscious principle, and then which really activates all of them. So this question implies his student's desire for knowledge of the self. And the teacher also gave the answer. What? How did he answer? Shrotrasya shrotram, manasaha manaha, etc. And through by his answer, what did this teacher explain, reveal? This, the teacher revealed it, that because of which these functions is the Atma. That because of which the, all of them function is the Atma. The answer he gave. Therefore, knowing that Atma alone, knowing that Brahman, Amrutaha bhavanti. Now the teacher is going to the next sentence. Next, actually, Shankara now comments upon other word. Amrutaha bhavanti. Amrutaha bhavanti means, where is the word? They become immortal. They attain immortality. They attain moksha. Is it? Amrutaha bhavanti. Amrutaha bhavanti is an answer where now? It is found in the answer by the teacher. Amrutaha bhavanti. And what is that? That answer is for, implies what now? It is the palashruti. It is the benefit of the knowledge. Not only the teacher gives the answer, what is that which make the sense organs etc. function? No? That because of which all of them function, knowing that, people also become what? No. Amrutaha bhavanti. Amrutaha bhavanti means they become immortal. They become immortal, which is the palashruti, it's the knowledge of the, it's the fruit of the knowledge. They become immortal, attain immortality implies what now? The fruit of the knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of that Atma, Brahman. Which Atma Brahman? Because of which all of them function. Therefore, this teacher gives the palashruti also. Palashruti means benefit of the knowledge also. Amrutaha bhavanti. But does he use the word jnatva? No. Therefore, Shankara says here, we have to add jnatva. Shankara says, we have to add, supply the word jnatva here. How does one become mumuktaha? How does one become amrutaha? Amrutaha bhavanti is mentioned there. How do they become amrutaha? How do they attain? How do they become immortal? Jnatva. Okay, jnatva we have to supply. And jnatva, knowing what, we don't need to tell. Why? It's all in the context of the having known what? Having known this self, which is Brahman. What is Brahman? The self. What is the self here? Self is that because of which all of them function. But knowing that, having known that, they become amrutaha, attain immortality. So, iti adhyahriyate, jnatva iti adhyahriyate. Adhyahriyate, he might know, we have to, this word is implied here. It is understood, we have to supply the word jnatva. Why should we have to supply the word jnatva? Because the jnanam is implied in the very question. The desire for knowledge is implied in the very question. Therefore, what the student needs to know is he knows the knowledge of Brahman also is implied. And therefore, having known that Brahman, those who know the Brahman, attain what? Immortality. Jnatva, they attain immortality. Then, jnanat, he amrutattvam prapyate. Amrutattvam means what? Immortality. The immortality is attained only by jnanam. That means what? Here you have to understand, sometimes to attain one goal, one may have to have many things as means. There are many means to accomplish one goal. There are some goals for which only one means is there. Isn't it? Whereas here, if you understand, suppose antahkarna shuddhihi is the goal. Imagine. If antahkarna shuddhihi is the goal, then what is the sadhanam? What is the means to accomplish antahkarna shuddhihi? Not one thing. So even though you can say karma yoga, but there are so many karmas you can do. See, pranayama alone is not the only means for antahkarna shuddhi. Meditation alone is not the only means of antahkarna shuddhi. Meditation is one of the means. Okay, meditation or pranayama or any karma you do, or anything. There are so many means to accomplish one goal. Only pranayama is the only means by which you can attain antahkarna shuddhi. No. Meditation is the only means by which you can attain antahkarna shuddhi. No. Antahkarna shuddhi, mental purity, you can gain by what? By doing any karma. Doesn't matter whether pranayama or worship or puja or any karma you can do. But any karma you do should be done with proper attitude and commitment to dharma. Then it becomes a yoga. Thereby it becomes what now? Means for antahkarna shuddhi. So antahkarna shuddhi is the go. If it is an end, it has many sadhanani. It has many means. So aneka sadhana sadhyam. The end which can have many means. Aneka sadhana sadhyam. I got it? Many means are there. Whereas what about the moksha? Amrutattvam. I can attain jnanam, moksha by pranayama or meditation. No. Jnanam. So, eka sadhana sadhyam is amrutattvam. Aneka sadhana sadhyam is what now? Antakarna shuddhi. Aneka sadhana sadhyam. For how many sadhana, how many means are that attain immortality? Only one means. What is that? Jnanam. Okay, and jnanam of what? Knowledge of Brahman. What is Brahma? Atma. What is Atma? That because of which the entire Karana Kalapaha functions. Okay, so the student asks the question with the jignasa, the desire to know. Therefore, knowing that what the student wanted to know. Is it clear now? Knowing that what the student wanted to know, that means knowing the Atma, jnatva, iti adhyagriyate, what now? The word jnatva we have to supply to get the meaning. They attain what now? Jnana palam is also implied by the teacher, revealed by the teacher. Amrutaha bhavanti. And here, why he has to say here very clearly, amrutaha bhavanti means it is possible for one, it is easy to not to have eye sense in the physical body. It is easy to resolve one's identity with the physical body. But it is very difficult to resolve identity with the sukshma shariram. See, even it is initially when you are very, very gross, you still have eye sense in the physical body also. But later on it is easy to come to, oh, because what happens? We all of us always have the experience of what is called death. Even though we do not die, we see other people dying. And we all know when the person is alive, there is prana. When the person is dead, there is no more prana. For what now? The presence of the prana, the absence of the prana, imply whether the body is dead or alive. Therefore, what Atma, it is natural for one to think of the prana for the Atma. Prana for the self. And to give up the, therefore, aham pranaha. Aham sukshma shariram. I am subtle body. Therefore, it is very difficult to resolve the essence in the subtle body. It's clear, no, very difficult to resolve the essence on the physical, in the subtle body. And what happens? They won't mistake oneself for the sukshma. Then mistaking the sukshma for the self, Atma, then what happens now? This way, the birthday celebration itself is what? Every time you're celebrating, I'm not saying it's wrong to celebrate, but birthday celebration also is a proclamation of one's ignorance.
Yeah.
Cutting the cake, the blowing the candles. Not only this, even the Vedic ritual such as performance of Aisha Homam, Mrityunjaya Homam, etc. is what now? I'm not saying wrong. It's okay, but it's all what it is implied. That means still, what is Atma here now? Sukshma is the Atma. Why? Born. And death, isn't it? Atma is born. Once you think you're born, then what happens naturally? The, not only this, then I also am scared. What now? Scared of death. Leaving the physical body. The fear of death, marana bhayam, is there because of, not because you mistake the sukshma shariram alone, even if you mistake the sukshma shariram for the Atma, still there will be marana bhayam. Fear of death. Not the fear of death and the fear of being born again, rebirth. When there is fear of death, there is fear of rebirth also. And the fear of rebirth, what happens then? No, not only the marana bhayam, the fear of punarjanma bhayam, not only punarjanma bhayam, and also prayer for videha mukti. Oh Lord, please don't bless me with again rebirth. Prayer for videha mukti. So prayer for videha mukti also is there. Why? All these things are possible only when you mistake the sukshma for the Atma. The prayer for Videha Mukti itself is meaningless. Prayer for, understand, even the Manabhayam will be not be there. And then the Punarjanma Bhayam also is not there. Atma is does not die. Atma is not all born. The first birth itself is not there. Therefore, where the question of being born again? Therefore, rebirth is not there for the Atma. Therefore, rebirth is not there. Therefore, Punarjanma Bhayam also is not there, not possible. If Punarjanma Bhayam is not there, and who attains moksha? Does Atma attain the moksha? Therefore, then prayer for Videha Mukti means what? Prayer for Videha Mukti of Atma or Sukshma? Why should you pray for Videha Mukti of a Sukshma if you are consciousness, if you are Atma? Does Atma pray? Therefore, the prayer for Videha Mukti, Marana Bhayam, no fear of death and fear of rebirth, prayer for Videha Mukti, okay, all these things are possible only if you have eye sense in what now? Not only in sthula and also in sukshma. That is why here the very question is so beautiful here. The student is very clear what now? This physical body is material. No? And it is functioning because of the presence of sukshma. But sukshma also is subtle material manifestation. Even sukshma also is not the atma. Okay? But sukshma being material, it functions. And what is that real substance? Because of which this what is a conscious principle? There must be some conscious principle which does not borrow any consciousness or sentience from anything else. It may be only because we are presence, it must be lending sentience and consciousness to the sukshma. Is it? Therefore, that is different from the sukshma also. And knowing that Atma, the conscious Brahman alone, Amrutaha Bhavanti. What is Amrutaha Bhavanti? When we attain immortality, means what now? Understanding the fallacy of the fear of death and fear of being born again, rebirth, and the prayer for Videha Mukti, liberation after death. Videha Mukti wants what now? Liberation after death. Isn't it? This is all what now? It's all expression of ignorance only. Amrutaha Bhavanti means understand Atma is not born, Atma does not die, Atma change, Atma is everlasting, eternal reality, the consciousness, because of mere presence of whom the material subtle karana kalapaha functions. That's why knowing that Atma helps one resolve the identity with the sukshma. That is when they understand the fallacy of the attainment of moksha, the notion of being bound. It's resolving these wrong notions. What are the notions? I am bound notion, I am attaining moksha notion. All the fallacy in all these things is what now? That's what real moksha. So Atma is Nitya Muktaha. Nitya Muktaha means what now? Ever free. Ever free Atma, how can it be looked upon as the some bound, and how can it be looked upon as the one which becomes free? I got it now? This which you had discussed in this context. Amrutaha Bhavanti means what? How do they attain moksha? How do they become free? What do you mean by saying attainment of immortality? Amrutaha Bhavanti means they attain immortality, they become immortal. They become immortal means they understand the Atma being ever immortal. They understand Atma being ever immortal means what? They know Atma is not at all born, does not die. Therefore, Atma has no rebirth. Therefore, Atma is not now. Atma need not attain, does not, cannot attain Videha Mukti also. So, the bondage is, the notion of being bound is fallacious. Notion of becoming free is fallacious. So, understanding the fallacy of these things is what now? Real Muktihi. They attain that Mukti. How? Jnatva. Knowing. Knowing what? That. That means what? That because of which the entire Karana Kalapaha functions. So that what happens now? Karana Kalapaha, Aham Karana Kalapaha, that will go. I am the Sukshma Shariram. Even if you do not say that, whenever you say, I am praying for Videha Muktihi, I don't want to be born again. If anybody says, I don't want to be born again, I want to Videha Mukti, when you say, what does it mean? Your identity is with Sukshma. So even not to pray like that. And what you need now? You have to have right identity. How can you have right identity? For which you should know the Atma. What is Atma? That because of which all that, the conscious principle, because of which the entire Sukshma functions. Okay, jnanate hi amritattvam prapyate. It is because of the jnanate. He means what now? He means it is because of knowledge alone moksha possible. Moksha is attained only by jnanam, because moksha is eka sadhana sadhyam. Jnanam is the only means. Jnatva atimuchya. So jnatva atimuchya. So having known that Atma, then atimuchya. Atimuchya means what now? Atimuchya means giving up all the wrong identities. Atimuchya means what now? Having given up all the wrong identities, all the wrong notions. Samar iti sam atimuchya iti samarthyat atimuchya iti samarthyat shrotradehe shrotradi lakshanam. Oh sorry, shrotradi karana kalapam ujjitva. Okay. So, jnatva, having known the Atma, atimuchya. Shankara comments upon the atimuchya iti. Samarthyat. So, you know? Shrotradi.
Shrotradi.
Karana kalapam ujjitva. Shrotradi karana kalapam uchya. Atimuchya means what he says. He gives the meaning of the word atimuchya. Atimuchya means what now? Uchitva, ujjitva. Ujjitva means what now? Shrotradi karana kalapam ujjitva. Shrotradi karana kalapam, giving up the shrotradi karana kalapam. Giving up all this sukshma, entire, all the aspects of sukshma shariram. Giving up means what? Giving up the essence in the all these sukshma aspects. giving up the eye sense in all the sukshma aspects. That means what he says, shrotradau, say no?
Shrotradau.
Atmabhavam.
Atmabhavam.
Shrotradau hi atmabhavam krtva.
Shrotradau.
Atmabhavam krtva. See what he says, shrotradau atmabhavam krtva means having the eye sense in the subtle body. Shrotradau atmabhavam kritva means having the eye sense in the sense organs and organs of actions. Having eye sense in the entire sukshma shariram. Having eye sense in what now? We would not know. Without our knowledge, we have eye sense. In what? In the all the sense powers. In all the entire mind, the pranas, all the powers of organs of actions, we have aham buddhihi. This is called ahankaraha. Having eye sense in anything other than self is what? Ahankara. Having eye sense in anything other than the atma is ahankara. Not only ahankara, you all have mamakara. Also mamakara. My sense also. That is because of what now this card? The anatmani aham bhavaha, aham kritva. So, atma bhavam kritva, then tadupadihi. Tadupadihi means what now? Then having these things as upadis. What is upadi? Anything which is there, which makes you have eye sense in that, it becomes upadi. Tadu upadihi means what now? Then the sukshma shariram becomes the upadhi. Sthula becomes the upadhi. Sthula, sukshma become the upadhi when you have eye sense in the in them. If there is no eye sense in all of them, do they become your upadhi? No. Tad upadhi. San tad atmana. Tadatmana. What happens? See, he talks of... See, Shankara beautifully explains the meaning of the word Atimuchya. First he said, knowing that self, they become immortal. But for which he says, how? How do they become immortal? Amrita bhavanti, katam amrita bhavanti, Atimuchya. So he gives more... He gives a long bhashyam for Atimuchya. Have you got it? Mm-hmm. Atimuchya, amrita bhavanti, fine. They attain moksha, knowing the self. How do they attain moksha knowing that self means what? Atimuchya, knowing that there is Atimochanam. Atimuchya means what now? He says, ujjitva, giving up. Giving up means what now? Giving up the... Or giving up all these things, negating all of them as anatma. Not only sthula negate as anatma, even the sense of subtle aspects, the entire karanakalapaha, the entire sukshma shariram, all these sense as subtle aspects, no, that they also negate as anatma. Negating all of them as anatma. Ujjitva means what now? Giving up all of them. Giving up, not negating all of them as anatma. How, if you do not know, negate anatma, Hayaka himself says, having eye sense in all of them, you don't have eye sense only in physical body, you have eye sense in sukshma sariram, mind, sense powers, all of them you have eye sense, then having aham atma bhavam kritva, then then we make all of them as what now? Tad upadihi. Having them as upadhihi, then what if once you take it as upadhihi, you have atma buddhihi, atma bhavam in all of them, then you have the notion. What notion you have? You have, even if you have given up the eye sense in the physical body, still you may have eye sense in this sukshma shariram. Thereby you have atma buddhi, atma bhavam in all of them. You have eye sense in all of them. Having eyes in all of them, you think what? They become your upadhi. Then what do you think afterwards? No? jayate, mriyate, you are going to think all of those things. Then, tad atmana, now see, tad upadihi sanne, having the subtle aspects also as upadhi, atma bhavam kritva, having essence in atma bhavam, subtle body also, then thinking that subtle body as the self, what do you say? Jayate, mriyate, samsarati cha. Then what happens now? You are born, then you, one is born, one dies, and samsarati cha, one continues to be in samsara. Samsarati means what now? Continuously born, continuously, because all the transactions are, what now? Actually speaking, what is birth here? If you think I am born, you have birth. If you do not think you are not born also, you will not birth. If you know you are not born, you are not born. If you think you are not born, still you will be born. If you know you are not born, you are not born. And what I'm saying? So here he says, therefore, ataha, therefore, even if a person, what Shankara wants to say here, even if a person gives up the identity with aham buddhi in physical body, it is very difficult for one to give up the identity with the sukshma shariram. I already explained to you. With the sukshma shariram, because it is difficult. And aham buddhi being there in sukshma shariram, and having, taking it as upadhi, one becomes sukshma shariram. What is the self? Sukshma shariram. Therefore, what happens now? Then there is birth, then there is death, then there is samsara. Samsarati means what now? Continuously born, lives, goes through pains and pleasures, dies, again born, again dies, again born, again goes through pains and pleasures, again dies. This samsara, samsarati, samyak sarati, continuously he goes on and on. Samsarati cha. Why? Still there is no moksha. Still one is bound. There is no amrutaha. Amrutaha na bhavati. Still mrutaha eva bhavati. Till he is bound, he is still not free. Kimartam samsarati? Because amrutaha na bhavati. Why amrutaha na bhavati? Samsarati. Why samsarati? Because jayate mriyate. Why is he born and die? Who is dying? Because here he says what now? Because he says he is atadatma bhavaha. Because he has aham buddhi. He takes all of them as upadis. Why? Because he still thinks sukshma is the atma. Why he thinks atma is sukshma is the atma? Because for he does not know atma. That means atma is different conscious principle, not the sukshma. Because of which, whose presence alone all of them function. Distinguishing the Atma from Sukshma Anatma is an important thing. Do you see the beauty of it?
I mean, there's a question which has arisen just from all of this now. Can I say? Usually one thinks of it completely the other way. You say, if I give up this identity with the sukshma, sharira, etc., all these other bodies, then I will see Atma. Now, over here, this seems to be saying, until you know what Atma is, you will bound to be identified with the anatma. And over here, it's saying the other way. It's saying, know the Atma, then you become free from the wrong identification. And we think, I've got to get free from the wrong identification and then somehow I will know Atma. And this is like,
I tell you, very important thing is, please understand, Only in jnanam you can resolve the wrong identity. The problem is, if you think, I have to resolve the wrong identity to have the jnana, means you are swimming against the current. How are you going to resolve the wrong identity? See, the same thing I taught to you in other classes. When people say, give up your anger, give up your desire. Giving up your anger and desire is not possible. Anger and desire will resolve by itself in jnana. Similarly, here also the wrong notion that I am the body, mind, complex also is what a notion which you cannot give up. It will resolve when you know the Atma. By giving up, you attain the jnanam. By gaining jnanam, you give up. In fact, there is no giving up. Even for want of word, I can say giving up. It resolves by itself. All the wrong notions resolve in correct knowledge. Is it clear now? So he very beautifully Shankara says Atimuchya for one word, he gives a long Atimuchya for one word, he gives a long meaning. Atimuchya means what now? Atimuchya means Muchya itself is muktva is enough, having become free. Atimochanam implies totally resolving the wrong identity with sukshma also. Still going to say sukshma also. So having this essence in sukshma also is resolved totally. How? By distinct Atma being distinct from the how? Because of the presence of the Atma alone, this material sukshma functions. Without which the material sukshma anadishtitam sukshma Atma anadishtitam sukshma shariram. The subtle body which is not backed by, I'm saying subtle body because I'm meaning all the karnakalapa, okay, entire karnakalapa. Atma will be as good as non-existent, will be inert, will be not be conscient, will not be sentient also. Okay? It not can function. And that Atma is what actually the self. Have you got it? So Atimuchya implies what now? Atimuchya Amrutaha Bhavanti. That is how one attains immortality. So even before going to reading sentence, I explained all those things. What is the consequences? What are the consequences of having essence in the sukshma shirira? Still there is a notion of being bound. Still there is a prayer for moksha, videha mukti. Still there is fear of death. Still there is fear of being born again. Still there is samsara. Still there is birth, still there is death, still there is samsara. What he says? Ataha.
Ataha.
Therefore. Shankara says, very beautiful. Whenever he comes, Ataha comes, you have to understand. Therefore, Ataha. Shrotradi lakshanam. Brahmatma. Iti viditva. Therefore, viditva. Knowing what? Having known that it is Brahmatma, it is Brahman, the Atma, which is defined here as Shrotradi Shrotram. It is, what is that now? Having known Brahman, the Atma, which is defined here as ear of the ear, eye of the eye, etc. Have you got it now? Atva. Thereby what happens now? Atimuchya. So Atimuchya means what now? Shankara again he repeats. Shankara even repeats here. Shrotradi. Atmabhavam.
Atmabhavam.
Parityajya. So completely giving up. Giving up means what now? Completely resolving the notion Okay, I am the sukshma shariram. Are completely resolving the I sense in, okay, atma bhava means what now? I sense. I sense in what? I sense in all the sense organs. I sense in this entire sukshma shariram. Parityajya, having resolved totally. They attain what now? They attain amrutaha bhavanti. He says, next he says, ye
shrotradi
atma bhavam parityajanti te dhiraha. See, those who parityajanti, ye parityajanti, those who renounce, those who give up. Ye parityajanti means what now? Those who give up. Give up means what now? Those who resolve. They resolve what? How? Completely. Pari means totally resolve. Pari, prefix. So totally resolve what? Atma bhavam, I sense. Those who totally resolve the I sense in what? All the karana kalapa, shrotradi, indriya kalapa, isn't it? Shrotradi atma bhavam parityajanti. Those who totally resolve their I sense identity, I sense in the entire sukshma shariram. I got it. Those resolve. Te dhiraha. They are the wise people. And here, what does the mean? Shankara gives here? Dhimantaha. Dhimantaha means what now? Dhimantaha means wise people. Here, this implies here extraordinary wisdom they need. To resolve the I sense in physical body needs wisdom. But to resolve the I sense in sukshma shariram needs extraordinary wisdom. Greater sharpness of intellect. Only when they resolve the I sense in the shrotradi indriya kalapam, shrotradi karana kalapam, and say shrotra adi means what now? Adi means etc. Resolving I sense in ear etc. means the entire sukshma shariram. That is when they become what now? That is how atimochanam. They really become immortal. So here, what is muktihi? What is nitya muktihi? Real freedom. The real freedom is discovering the fallacy of what now? Attainment of moksha and the notion of being bound. And how does that real mukti happens? The videha mukti, all these notions resolve when? Resolving the fallacy of attainment of videha mukti, etc., a notion of being bound, etc., is the real mukti. That mukti, when he attained, that is when a person is said to be amrutaha. How does he happen? How does it happen? With his extraordinarily, he must be wise. One is extraordinary wisdom, which means dhimantaha, one must be dhiman. One is that he is a dhiman. When does a person become dhiman? When he resolves his I sense in the sukshma also. How does he resolve I sense in sukshma? By knowing the atma jnantva. What is atma? That because of which all of them function, which is distinct, which is not this. When you say atma is that because of which all of them function, means what? Atma is distinct and different. Atma is not this. Therefore, you can't have I sense in them. That is how you resolve. Understand now, knowing the atma, you resolve the wrong identity, thereby you attain what? You really become amrutaha. Okay, this is the one particular thing comes to an end. So, I'll stop here and we can do the next one, next class. Okay? I think the next class I'll finish the whole thing and we'll go to the next verse also. Now, how you have to do, okay, I'll give some time for you to ask questions if you have. See, today we have seen the commentary by Adi Shankara upon what now? The meaning of the word Parimuchya, Dhiraha, Amrutaha Bhavanti. No? I have explained these three words of Shankara's Bhasham. See, every word he comments upon. Atimuchya, commentary on the word Atimuchya. Commentary on the word Dhiraha. Commentary on the word Amrutaha Bhavanti. Then before that, there is a question by the Purupakshi. Why Pranasya is a Mukhya Pranaha or a Gauna Pranaha? And he answered why the Pranaha means Mukhya Pranaha, not Gauna Pranaha. He explained that. These many things we have seen today.
The question that arises is this. It's pretty obvious that, I mean, it's reasonable, logical, that the self is distinct from the body. It's logical, you know.
Yeah.
But even though we can say, oh yeah, logically, yes, that is distinct from that, we can tell that one is distinct from the other. Still, we don't know what this is. Is that what you're saying? Even though, so we say, yeah, okay, there's something called Atma, which is distinct from Stula and Sukshma.
Therefore, here what happens, when you say something, Atma is distinct, it also helps you to negate what Atma is not.
Yeah.
See, negation of what Atma is not also, it helps you to arrive at what Atma is. But not directly, immediately.
Yeah.
Step by step, systematically.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that just to say that it is distinct, even that is still not enough.
No.
No. Even that is still not enough.
No, that is not enough means because that helps you to resolve the wrong identity. To arriving at what Atma is okay. Isn't it? Because, no. Because when it becomes very clear, Atma is that distinct from this itself, is enough for you to resolve the wrong identity with the Anatma. Atma is distinct. The knowledge of Atma being distinct, being different from the Sukshma, Karana Kalapaha, helps you to resolve your wrong I-sense in the thing.
But when you say helps you resolve, it doesn't mean...
No, at least...
Something...
No, because I am the sukshma, that notion goes.
Yeah. So
I am the sukshma goes. Because I am Atma. I do not know what I am. I do not know what Atma is. I do not know what Brahman is. Okay? I don't know what Brahman is. Because I do not know what Atma is. Because I do not, that's what knowing Atma is, not knowing what I am. I do not know. But I am distinct from this itself, different from this itself helps you not to take this for the self.
Yeah. But still, not to take this for the self still doesn't let you know what Atma is. At least you know it's not this.
No. That's what I'm saying. When you dissolve, then that is how you arrive at it. First itself, this is not the Atma itself, helps the wrong I-sense in the Anatma. Okay? But still, when you know that, when you know the Atma, when you resolve, don't take this as Anatma, again you can understand what Atma is. It's simultaneous. I tell you, what happens? You have, when you understand what Atma is, then you resolve your wrong identity with the Anatma. And to resolve wrong identity with the Anatma, to know the Atma means, how do you know the Atma? The Atma is distinct from this. It is not then what the Atma is.
So this conversation this morning has been really a wonderful expression of what you said on Saturday. When someone can come to you and say, I've heard the Atma, I've heard of the Self all-knowing, you know, we are the same substance, but yet I still experience. Because this is just a process, something that we keep studying systematically, and then slowly.
That is why study is a must. See, it is not something gross. That's why I said adhiraha. He says Shankara says dhiraha. He means dhimantaha, dhiman. Dhiman means what? No, dhihi he means the wisdom. So the dhiman means the wise person. And so ordinary wisdom is not enough to resolve the identity with the. See, negating the anatma as anatma itself is a good step. You negate first. Pitaji, negation takes place first step. Resolution takes place in jnana. See, negation helps you to know, then knowledge helps to resolve. It's okay. See, and what I'm saying? Negation of what Atma is not helps you to arrive at, understand what Atma is. Then after having understood the Atma, you resolve the I-sense in the Atma. See, where do you resolve? What do you negate? When do you negate? When do you resolve? When do you negate? You have to shifting I-sense from the body is called negating the body as anatma. Then you don't know where to place atma, I-sense. You have negated this. You have I have moved from the other house. I have found this house. Where can I go otherwise? I can't be hanging, you see. So it's like that, shifting the I-sense from the physical body. Because why? Body anatma. Then where can you place I-sense? I have to hold it to something. Then immediately what available is sukshma. Then it's very difficult to shift the eyes from the at-sukshma. That is why Shankara is mainly, he says what now? The Upanishad itself starts with the sukshma. You see the beauty of it. The Upanishad question itself starts with the sukshma. Why? Because what is that because of which, you know, all this subtle body functions. The entire subtle body functions. The very question in Kena Upanishad is very different. Have you noticed? Upanishad doesn't talk about the sthulam at all. Why? Because now the I-sense has shifted from sthulam, but now helplessly it has been placed. This is the available house, so I'm living here, okay? And now it is shifted in what now? Sukshma. But even this also, here also I find some difficulties. I had to move from here also to my own house. I wish Arvita gets own property, not rented property. Like that, our own home is what? Atma. For all of us, the real home is what? Bhagavan, the Atma. Then we say your home. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, now we don't know. And having come here, it's difficult to find other place. Later, having come to the sukshma, having put the eye then it is very difficult to, then this anatma, all this sukshma also has to be negated as anatma. Unless and until you negate the sukshma being anatma, sukshma is anatma negated, you can arrive at the atma. Unless you arrive at the Atma, you cannot resolve the I-sense in Atma. So negation takes place first, resolution takes place after Jnanam. Negation takes place before Jnanam. Jnanam takes in between. Jnanam and resolution of Ahankara is simultaneous. Have you got it now? Negation, knowledge, resolution. Then, when you resolve, when you negate the sukshma also is anatma. How do you negate? Atma is distinct, different. Why? Sukshma also is material. Whether you know or not, the student makes us think, understand his question itself first. The student's question itself helps us to understand that sukshma also is material. Whether we know sukshma is material or not, the student's question in the Upanishad makes it very clear for us that sukshma is material. Therefore, you understand what knows, you negate the sukshma also is anatma. Well, what is atma then? Atma is that because of which this functions. That's all finished. You don't need to know what atma is. Okay, that because of which it functions. Therefore, atma is different, not this. You negated now. Then where can I put I then now? Resolve the I in atma. Is it clear now? Anyway, that's why atimuchya means what now? Atimuchya implies negation and resolving the atma bhavam. What now? Negating the anatma as the manatma, you resolve the atma bhavam also. What now? In all of them, isn't it? You resolve the atma bhavam. We don't have atma bhavam anymore. Initially, you have atma bhavam. Once you have atma bhavam in sthula or sukshma, having atma bhava means what now? Having I sense in sukshma makes the sukshma your upadhi. Limiting adjunct. If I sense is in sukshma, the sukshma becomes the upadhi. If I sense is not in sukshma, where is the upadhi? Is it clear now? That's what he says, that resolving the atma bhava in this sukshma, negating them as anatma, is called what here? Atimuchya.
Sorry, can I ask, do you have to actively negate the atma at the karana, sharira? Do you have to actively negate atma from anatma in karana, sharira? Because I'm not sure how that would happen.
No, karana also is, yeah.
No,
understood. I understand, isn't it? We don't need, because karanam is in the form of a karyam.
Okay.
See, negating the aham buddhi in the karyam itself is enough. Because in karanam, you can't negate.
No, you can't. Exactly.
When you have wrong identity, you have to have the negation. In karanam, you don't have identity at all. In karana shariram, there is no identity. Example is what? Sleep. I told in Tathabodha class. In karana shariram, when there is in sleep, you have no identity. In waking state, you have half identity. In half knowledge, you have half identity. In total knowledge, you have right identity. So wrong identity is in half knowledge, right identity is in total knowledge, non-identity is in total ignorance.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So there's nothing to resolve in there. When you have no identity at all, you don't need to resolve anything, isn't it? When do you have wrong identity? When do you have wrong identity? Only if you have wrong identity, you have a problem, isn't it? Non-identity, no problem. In karma sharam, you have no identity. Therefore, there is no question of nothing to be resolved, nothing to be there. Karnam is you. Karnam also is you. You understand the karnam also is not outside of me. Then, only when you gain jnanam in waking. As a human being. Okay. So today how many words have you seen the Bhashyam commentary on of how many words? Whether pranaha means gauna pranaha or mukhya pranaha. So what all he explained, I told you. Thereafter we had seen the meaning of atimuchya. Then you have seen the meaning of dhiraha. Then you have seen the meaning of amrutaha bhavanti. We'll see.
Identity.
Yeah. It's all part of it. Yeah. In the context, see, he in explaining every meaning of every word, and we have understood so many things today. Hope you got it. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.